Why would you be doing this to yourself? I was telling them the music that was being played represented steps along the path of my journey. The Contemporary's Canadian Nazarene College in Winnipeg, BLTS, my dad, and so many other music compositions, my sons, my daughter. I wanted to surround myself on this Sunday with family and extended family. This humorous little guy here was created for me by Reverend Ingrid White, who is longtime associate at Victoria Emmanuel. She was my student in 1976, and she drew this, and it's been on my offices for 46 years. As I stand here this morning, knowing that it's my last Sunday preaching as your associate, I am surrounded by family. Andrew Burt Nelson taught Sunday school here in the early 1900s. And on June 1st, 1914, Andrew Burt Nelson and Elizabeth McGivern were married in that spot in this church. They had three daughters and two sons. Those siblings sang in a radio gospel program. Somehow my dad got to know Wolf's mom and dad, and they invited him for meals. He got to know Jean Graham family. 1931, you will see that a senior pastor here was Reverend A.B. Vincent. That was my great uncle. In the 1940s, Reverend Dr. Howard Benthal was the senior pastor. And many years later, he would become my senior pastor at First Baptist Church, Calgary, during my high school and university days. He would write to me. He gave me opportunities because he saw a gift within me. My brother was associate pastor here in the early 80s. When I was called from BLTS to this church, I went to the head offices in Calgary and asked for Dr. Benthal's blessing. My dad was stationed in Nova Scotia. Somehow on one Sunday, and maybe it was the connection with this church that his family had, he decided to go to West End Baptist Church, where my grandfather was the minister, Reverend Gordon S. Vincent. It just happened that that Sunday, my grandmother-to-be decided that she was going to bring all the single women and all the single men together in the parsonage for lunch, hoping that maybe some magic would happen. My dad happened to be at that service. When he knocked on the parsonage door and the door was opened, he saw this beautiful young woman walking down the staircase. 4 years later, he married Carol Vincent. As I look back over my life and my ministry, I am confronted with the reality that the path was set for me. Instead of heading off to the Toronto Opera School, I decided I would stay in Calgary, and BLTS opened up to me. And as I look back on these many years, what inspired me today was family. Family represented by the knowledge of a marriage certificate I have here of my paternal grandparents. The memorial chimes that were at Penticton First Baptist then were taken to First Baptist Calgary, and now they are here, represent my maternal grandfather. His Bible, right here. Two bookmarks created by my son and daughter. And a lucky rock that my 3-year-old youngest son gave me. What is reflective of all that I've said is the characteristics: caring, loving, kindness, pleasantness, community, and belonging. I went in for blood work, I would say a month and a bit ago. And the nurse knew me, and she knew I'm a bit when it comes to needles. And so I sat down, and she started to talk to me, and all of a sudden I realized she'd given me the needle. I said, "Wow." I said, "You're wonderful." And she said, "Thank you. Today has not been a good day." It was only 10 o'clock in the morning. And I said, "Have people not been kind?" She said, "No, people have not been pleasant." During this pandemic, we've run into examples of people who have been both pleasant and others who have been unpleasant. This morning, I would like to consider the joyful service of being pleasant and kind and having an attitude of gratitude. We all agree that it is a Christian duty and privilege to add to the happiness of the world, especially in this pandemic time. In what more real way can we contribute to the happiness and joy of others than being pleasant? Having a heart filled with an attitude of gratitude. Whatever may be said about the service of exceptional leaders, pleasant or unpleasant, there can be no doubt that for ordinary, everyday living, pleasantness, kindness, loving is more valuable than shrewd philosophy, good business judgment, or even unusual generosity. There may be a few whom we can directly aid with money, but we can help everybody we meet by being kind, being pleasant. You know, you may not find any large opportunity for use of a brilliant intellect, but every hour of the day and almost every minute you can and delight others by being pleasant. No great societies or organizations may ever look to you for guidance or leadership, but you have at any time the chair position of a committee of one on pleasantness. Even the universal duty of Christ-like love has all too few chances for intimate and active exercise compared with the constant privilege and opportunity of being pleasant. You see, pleasantness, kindness, loving, caring, they're like the shine on an apple. Goodness, gratitude plus. You know, it's always easy to find opportunities for being pleasant in the home and in the community, but being pleasant is not always easy. All the world is hungry for it. The demand is enormous, but you will find depression and gloom written on many faces. People's faces exhibit discontent, peevishness, moodiness, unhappiness. Eyes seem dull, mouth corners are down, voices are shrill, gestures are nervous. Their bearing is listless and spiritless. You know, if you want to enter an occupation that is not overcrowded, I'd suggest the cheering up business. Try being kind, pleasant, and have a personality overflowing with gratitude. The scarcity of pleasantness is caused by really inherent difficulties as well as by outside environmental influences. We're inclined to think that pleasantness or kindness is a naive gift, forgetting that it is usually acquired only after deep and painstaking effort. We are literally to believe that pleasantness is rather a trip, accomplishment acquired by anybody without serious effort or practice. It is therefore not to be compared with skill on the piano or with the skill of making a public speak, for many a pianist has been an egotistical nuisance. One exception, Krista. Or with the skill of making public speak, for many an orator has been a bore and a bully, my colleagues being the exception. Indeed, some who have acquired skill in other fields of human endeavor have lamented their lack of popularity and longed for. They've longed to be pleasant and could not, with all their genius, accomplish it. Why this failure? Because habitual pleasantness, kindness, loving requires mental balance, spiritual discipline, a wealth of character, the power of prayer, and abiding fellowship with the pleasant company of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Pleasantness, kindness, love is they're fruits of prayerful and sincere efforts. They're the blossom of Christ-like love in the soul. Anyone can be pleasant to the pleasant under favorable circumstances. Anyone can be pleasant when one feels right. But Christ-like pleasantness is pleasant with the disagreeable. Pleasant, mean, irritating, and unpleasant circumstances. Pleasant when one feels cross, horrid, nasty. No one can be pleasant if one is selfish and self-centered. Unselfishness is the climax of character and the fulfillment of Christ-like personality. Pleasantness, kindness, love, think and live for others. There are beautiful garments, a loving, kindly, and unselfish heart. It is Christ in control of feeling, emotion, and attitude. Now, no one can set for himself or herself a more worthwhile goal than that of being pleasant. The effort to be pleasant is so enriching, so satisfying. It adds to our own happiness and the happiness of others. Pleasantness is like good things. Attained by prayer and practice, it becomes easier and easier. It is so pleasant to be pleasant, to have an attitude of gratitude. And we build an appetite for it. We enjoy it. And we look for opportunities to practice and use it. And then society becomes more attractive and friendship more delightful. Hillary, I think the battery in my... Don't worry about it. Just turn this one on. Finally, pleasantness and having an attitude of gratitude, they can be contagious. One pleasant person in a home or office will in time make a whole office full of grouchy people pleasant. It is an irresistible leaven. It radiates the warmth of love like a benediction. It's the expression of the love and power of Christ from whom it comes. It is to Him we go to draw upon His resources for a pleasant, Christ-like spirit. No one can be constantly pleasant in his or her own pure human strength, because no one can be unselfish in his or her own strength. The measure of our surrender to the inner control of Christ will manifest itself in outer pleasantness. And if we truly abide in Him as the branch abides in the vine, His love will manifest itself in us and through us in all our contacts and relationships. For Christ-like love is the soul of pleasantness. And in these pandemic days of stress and strain, the practical value of Christian pleasantness cannot be overemphasized. Our Lord lived and died and rose again to make possible a life of happiness and pleasantness for all. Without His cross, says it all. Let us seek of our Lord by sincere and earnest prayer.
Inner power and spiritual strength to be pleasant, to be kind, to be loving anywhere and to everybody under all and everyday condition. Only one life, only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. To this end, let us pray like the little girl. Lord, make the bad people good and the good people nice. There was a gentleman at First Baptist Church Calgary who was a graphic artist, and he designed all of a bunch of cards. He'd take old cardboard and he'd put pictures and sayings on it. One card stands out because it reflects this church. What I've said this morning reflects my church family, who have been loving, who have been kind, who have been encouraging, who have been caring. There is no church quite like this church. Anywhere near this church, so this must be the church. In my grandfather's Bible, he had a bunch of sayings. And one of them was, "Wouldn't it?" And it says this: "Wouldn't this old world be better if the folks we meet would say, 'I know something good about you,' and then treat us just that way? Wouldn't it be fine and dandy if each hand clasped warm and true carried with it this assurance, 'I know something good about you'? Wouldn't it be more pleasant if the good that's in us all were the only thing about us that folks bothered us to recall? Wouldn't it be nice to practice this fine way of thinking too? You know something good about me, and I know so many good things about you." Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And a merry heart does good like a medicine. Be of good cheer. As you face the future and as you turn the page, remember, the power behind you is greater than the challenges that lie ahead. Let the Savior come into your life this morning and join his cheering up squad. Be pleasant. Continue to be pleasant, to be kind, to be loving, to be caring, to be encouraging. May God bless you as you go forth in the weeks and months and years to come. And on behalf of my family, on behalf of myself, I thank you for last Sunday night. For together, whatever was accomplished, we accomplished it together.